The college I went to had a partnership with another nearby college. So if you were registered at one, you could attend classes at either, eat in the dining facilities of either, even live in the dorms of both campuses. And there was a regular bus line between the two, just a 10-minute ride, and the buses ran frequently between the colleges, starting early in the morning and going well into the evening. And I took classes on both campuses most semesters, so I was on the bus a lot, even though I had a car. And eventually, I got to know most of the drivers. They all seemed like pretty nice guys. Some were more outgoing than others. There was one guy named Tony who was quiet and always wore a newsboy cap. You know what those are, right? Those flat caps. They're usually like tweed or something like that. So he always wore a newsboy cap. And Tony always had the radio on, but not loud. You couldn't really hear it except if you were sitting in the first few rows, as I recall. And it was always on an evangelical Christian radio station where he would be hearing these preachers all day long. And one time, I was going over to the other college in my car over the weekend to meet a friend, and I'd obviously not taking the bus that day. The road was just one lane in each direction most of the way, and another car came up behind me, right up behind me. I mean, right on my bumper. And he started flashing his headlights and honking. Now, I was driving the speed limit because I have a real aversion to getting tickets. I just hate getting tickets. And this guy did not like that at all. So about a half a mile after he had appeared, the road widened out to two lanes at a stop sign, and I pulled into the right lane. I looked over at the other car as it pulled up next to me, and I was mad by this point, but the guy in the other car, he was smoking mad. I mean, he was shaking his arms and fists at me and gesturing at me, and I had my window rolled up, so I couldn't really hear what he was saying, and I was struggling myself with the anger at this point. His anger was starting to get me angry. And I could see who it was. There in the other car, wearing his usual newsboy cap, was Tony, the bus driver, the guy who sat listening all day to the Christian preachers. And I was really mad at this point. I mean, I thought about rolling down my window and saying something. And then, in what I can only characterize as a miracle, because if you knew me at this point in my life, you would know that I did not suffer this sort of thing, this kind of thing to me with any sort of regularity. If somebody, was in my face like that, I was right back. But I calmed myself down, and I consider this a miracle. I'd only been back in church after years of calling myself an atheist for a few months, but I thought to myself that this is a situation in which I have to choose a different way than I might have before. Tony was in the wrong. He was the guy who was driving unsafely, tailgating, swerving, flashing his headlights and honking. He was the guy who was swearing and losing his mind over the 15 seconds of extra driving time that I cost him. And there was a time, like I said, when I would have thought it was perfectly reasonable to tell him off and let him know all the stuff he was doing wrong. Maybe even point out how hypocritical it is to listen to Christian preachers all day on the radio and then lose his temper behind the wheel and act like a crazy man. I wasn't frightened of Tony. It wouldn't have bothered me a few months prior to yell right back at him, especially if I felt like I was in the right, and maybe even if I wasn't in the right. But I thought to myself that if I'm trying to behave like a follower of Jesus, then perhaps this is a good time to turn the other cheek. Also, I have a long enough memory that when I arrived in church the next Sunday, I would have still remembered that as a moment in which I fell short of what God wants of me. Do you know what I mean? Like, it had enough hang time in my memory that I knew that if I did the thing that I was trying to avoid doing, that I would still remember it on Sunday when I was in church. So I just turned my face back to the road, waited for him to drive through the intersection, and I went on my way. And part of me felt angry. Part of me thought I should have confronted Tony, let him have a piece of my mind, but I was able to surrender that anger to God fairly soon afterwards and realize that all I would have been doing was to escalate an already ugly situation. That happens to people a lot, doesn't it? They lose their tempers and an already difficult situation gets worse. In the gospel today, Jesus casts out a demon that has possessed a young man. Now, I used to think the whole idea of demonic possession was ludicrous, and I'm still agnostic on the subject of demons, but I do think these two things: strong emotions can possess us, and our faith in Christ, if we trust it and use it, can deliver us from that possession. Just about everybody has emotions, right? The philosopher Aristotle, thousands of years ago, described the basic emotions he thought all people have. He said, we have anger, calm, friendship, fear, courage, shame, confidence, kindness, cruelty, pity, indignation, envy, and love. But sometimes our emotions drive out our ability to think and act the way we know we should. That's what I mean by saying that I believe in possession. There are times when I've been possessed by my feelings, my emotions, to the point that I haven't behaved according to my values, according to who I know Jesus is calling me to be. So, if I'm overjoyed to the point where I'm not thinking clearly, it's not terribly likely that I'm going to cause any harm. But what if I'm angry or afraid or ashamed or indignant or sad to the point where I'm not thinking clearly? What if I'm so down all the time that sadness is my daily reality? Or what if I'm envious, the way that so many people are nowadays, when the community of friends we see online seems to be always doing fun stuff and having a great time and posting pictures of it? Do you see now why I believe in possession? I now believe, for instance, that Tony, even though it's clear he was a man of faith and prayer, was possessed by anger. And not just in that moment. I think he was possessed all the time, and just the people around him didn't always realize it. A short time after my encounter with Tony on the road, I was reading the newspaper, and I learned that Tony shot and killed someone a few weeks after my encounter with him, who was in a vehicle, another vehicle on the highway, in a road rage incident. And the first thing that I thought was, dear God, I wonder if he had a gun in the car when he pulled up next to me. And the next thing I thought was this: why was he so angry? And what about that situation caused me to absorb that anger? But then again, I myself, as I said, had to take a moment, calm myself down, and remember two things. First, that I'm a Christian trying to follow the teachings of Jesus. And second, that someone else's anger, bad opinion, harsh words, or other negativity doesn't have anything to do with me unless I let it. I don't have to react, even if it's based on a grain of truth. I'm sure Tony was mad about the fact that I was driving more slowly than he liked to drive. That's 100% true. It says nothing about me, however, except that I'm a cautious driver. So I used Jesus as my teacher, my example, and in this case, I possessed my emotions, but my emotions did not possess me. My brain and my faith won the battle with the help of Jesus. Now, that doesn't happen every time for me or most of us. But if we're serious about Jesus, we need to try and make it happen. It should happen more and more as we grow in our faith. This is not really a bad way to think about my life, I've realized. Life is the daily battle between the emotions stirred up by what's going on around us and our brains and faith. Brains and faith, if we're Christian, are supposed to win this fight with the help of Jesus. And you can look at the world around us and see that there are more and more opportunities either to be possessed or to cast out our demons. Watch politicians go after each other and hope that you'll take sides. Do you want to get dragged into their fight? If you don't, then don't. Go online, look at any internet post, and then read the comments section underneath it. 3/4 of the time, I'm going to say non-scientifically, the comments on those online news articles or YouTube videos or other popular items will go negative and hostile pretty quickly. And even people who start out trying to have a reasonable discussion will often be sucked into shouting matches, much as I was tempted to do with Tony, and much as I certainly have at other times prior to that in my life. It's not supposed to be that way for us. Our faith is not just something that we have. It's something that should possess us. Do you see how I turn that around? It's okay to be possessed as long as you're possessed by God, by the desire to be someone who serves Jesus and acts from faith and thought and the courage that it takes to do this thing that we're doing. It takes courage to confront the negative emotions that are all around us, that can possess us, and to reject their power. If we don't even try, we're no different than anyone else. We can cast out our demons through Jesus, and we're called to do exactly that. Amen.